Hello. Hello, screen. So, sorry to just fly in like that. Yeah, just real rough and ready. So let's get on the right page. So tonight you have the pleasure of listening to seven of the MA poets from the current crop of MA and creative writing students in UCC. Unfortunately for them, they've been stuck with me as their lecturer for the last little while. So if you enjoy their work, that's brilliant. But if you don't, it's not my fault. Awesome. So will I just go? What I'll do, I'll introduce you all like one before an introduction, and then you come up. Is that okay? Okay. So Fiona's first, and she looks slightly perturbed, but there's a great crowd here anyway. So okay, let's go for the detail. Fiona Tracy, cool jet in a minute. Let me introduce her. Fiona Tracy is a poet from West Virginia. She has earned her bachelor's degree in creative writing from Sheppard University and is currently in the MA cohort in UCC. Her writing explores women, place, and identity, and she has been published in the Naugatuck River Review, Orchards Poetry Journal, the Stone Coast Review, and the Blackwater Review. So, Fiona Tracy, everybody.
Hi, I'm Fiona. Thank you for having me. I'm going to start by reading a new poem that I'm working on that is about my father. Each time I try to tell your story, I find you are too tall, a giant too big for this world, this poem, a remnant of the old ways of a time when men would go a Viking. I know the tallest I have ever been was seated on your shoulders, an 8-foot girl in a land of small men, reaching around your red beard as if to touch the world. When you were strong and I was not, we shared the easy love of protection. Daddy, you are double-sided like a silver coin, carried with me, thumbed in my pocket till I can see myself in your reflection. On one side, you stand perpetually laughing, leaning back against the dishwasher in our small kitchen-made mead hall, the company and I enthralled to your tales. Then you would rub your hands together at the pleasure of your own jokes, and I would know that you were happy. On the reverse, you are full berserker, punching holes through our drywall, roaring like the Ursus Arctis, sailing a squalling sea, forever battling the world serpent of your anger. I am storm-tossed, born on choppy waves, yet hunt you like the white hart in a dark wood, seek and find and lose you in every man I meet. Not a new idea, but no less true. Daddy, I am still afraid of you and how alike we are in the extreme heat of our unbearable coldness. When the snow falls outside my new home, I hear the soft crunch of powder compacting on powder, of a million pieces of white stillness turning over, submitting to your boots. I am not with you, but I see your stride, never breaking, how the coat that always seemed too large for any human hangs from your square shoulders. For you, I will rise every 2 hours to shovel as you taught me. For you, I will live the old way, close to the land, close to the sea. I do not carry your cornflower eyes or Swedish name, but I'm more like you than any other that walks the earth. In another life, I was the Valkyrie that chose you for your courage, guided you to Valhalla. Long after, we chose each other again when I became your daughter. In trying to understand you, I keep choosing. I will keep rowing to you, finding pieces of you suddenly in my lips, palms, knees, teeth, like fish scales, only extraordinary when they catch the light. I fight our likeness even as I embrace it as a way to you. I fight our likeness because it is our way to fight. Your anger, my anger, is my legacy. In every life that comes, I will choose you as my father. The next poem that I'm going to read is called, I Am So, So Sorry. Why are you always reaching for death? Why do you send your secrets flying out into the world on ink-smudged napkins like so many shabby once white birds? Don't you have any shame? Don't you know how to smile? Don't you know how to be polite, to be cheerful, to be a woman? Don't you want me to be happy, don't you? Why do you bruise so easy? Why are your hands perpetually shaking? Why didn't you put more salt in the dinner? Why do you cry out in your sleep? Can't you see I'm trying to get some rest? Why are you so childish? Why is your head always empty of me and full of last night's dreams? Why are your lips redder when I make you cry? Why do you weep over the broken mirror and your loose shards of luck? Why can't you be prettier like you used to be? Why are you wearing your insecurities like an overcoat again? Why can't you just disappear when I look at you sideways? Why aren't you eating? Don't you know it's rude? Don't you know I like to see your mouth full of flesh? Why are you never satisfied? Why do you make so much noise when I take you? Don't you know how to be a lady? Why can't you just turn around and take it? Why won't you take that off before we go? I'm the only one whose gaze should voyage from your hip to your collarbone. Why won't you just take one hit with us? Why are you always seeking things with your eyes? Why do you make me lash out like a whip that stripes red as dawn? Why are you such a bitch? Why are you so disgusting? Why do you make me so mad? Why do you ask for it? Why do you like it? Why are you raising your voice? Why do you always start a fight? Why the fuck are you talking to me like that? Why? And the last poem that I'm going to read is just a short, hopeful poem, and it's called What Fit Once. First finding you, I wear you too hard and for too long, like a pair of new shoes. At our farewell, I thumb your forehead, cataloging your anatomy for what may come, blessing you like the priest on Ash Wednesday. Who knows, maybe our love will show up somewhere, almost forgotten, like a lost stocking or an old piece of jewelry, an ordinary thing. Thank you.
Well, I think that set the tone pretty well so far. So well done, Fiona. Next up, we have John McLeod, who is an English-born writer who was raised in the American South. He's completing the creative writing MA at UCC. His current collection in progress extends the arc of strained family life, mid-20s existentialism, all wrapped up in grief with a foundation of alcoholic tendencies. So I think that gives us, it gives us a good bit of context there. So this is a warm welcome to John. Okay.
Is that good?
Like it on first.
Hello, I'm John. I'm just going to read a couple poems from my recent collection, and then I'll end with one from my new one that I'm kind of excited to share with you all. So this first poem is about a former love, and I kind of fucked everything up there. So I can't really go back to those beautiful moments we had without kind of losing them. So taking a note out of Terence Hayes's book, I tried to lock them in a Shakespearean sonnet, and it is called Rushed Reunions. I only feel you as tied silk swirls low, latent unfolding to fashion your form. Moonlight emboldens a bare winter glow, tracing your features from under my thorns. I don't mean to puncture your pale embrace. If only my armor were smooth and whole, perhaps I could cradle your forlorn grace before the moon suckles its selfish toll. Whisking the roar of black rippled water, tugging your soul beneath dilating waves, our sandcastle moats are crumbling smaller, along with my memories of your last days. I'll lay in cold sand and wither in shells, longing for moments when low tide rebels. Thank you. I'm nervous. This next one, so I am a recovering alcoholic, and one of my best friends last year, my partner in crime, was lost to addiction, and he was in a coma for about a week before his family pulled the plug, and this poem kind of came out of that, so bear with me, please. But this one is for Paul. I woke up and smelled your death, loitering in my nose like secondhand smoke. I think about you now and feel hope dissolve like acid in my mouth while your death waits to vibrate in my pocket. The bridge, the desert, the endless dives, our careless chaos overlapping as vodka filled the crevices like spilled paint. Just one deep breath, and I'll meet you at the ditch where we'll roll up and blur the line between antics and alcoholism like we always did, until we didn't. Give me one deep breath and exhale a laugh from the passenger seat with a blunt in your hand. Give me one deep breath on your own, please. Thank you. This next one is about a toxic relationship that was killing me. And for some reason, I just couldn't get away from it. I think we know those. It's called Found in Temperate Regions of North America. Your sex is on my porch again. You always leave it there, just like the strings of honey that trickle down the stairs. I trace you through the sunbeams, each teasing ray your touch, each breath of wind your gasp, each salty drip enough. To lure me to your shadow, I bend as you breathe out, dripping like the venom strands that slaver down your mouth. You paralyze my being and spew your toxic thread, your glassy black protracting as the hourglass drips red. The blood of your subsistence, drawn from my gaping pores, before you roll and roll and roll and drape me by your door. To savor at your leisure, a gulp before you go, you weave another widow web and drain me just for show. You disregard my hollow husk, engorged with my despair, and I stagger back to my front porch and see your sex right there. Thank you. All right, and this next one is just about a beautiful hike that happened one time. It's called If We're Walking in the Air, Are We Flying? You find me in the vacant lot where my spirit hides, blown with plastic bag promises caught beneath chain link. Shattered glass and rusty nails tink beneath our boots as you steer our escape. Your steps always climbing, always up to realms my haggard dreams don't recall. But your woodland world enchants, and when scattered saplings yield to brush and bark, your grasp tightens, the knowing breeze tugs through thick forest, and timid rays illuminate your charms, like the pine cone you threw at me. I knew it was enough to be with you, to walk miles through woods and only see your legs or your lips as you turn to check your bearings or my breath. But I didn't know we would fly. I didn't know you would take my hand and lead me in long strides above the trees. But you did. You were magic, and I was lucky. Thank you.
Okay. I'm a tiny bit shorter than John, so. Okay, so next up we have Hannah Myers, who is originally from British Columbia and grew up in Glasgow. So we're having quite an international sort of cocktail effect tonight. Also a consumer of the MA in creative writing and a poetry student. She adores writing, wait for this, narratives for games, flash scripts for animation, lyric writing, poetry, and musicals. So tonight we're being treated to some of her poetry. Hannah Myers, everybody.
Hello. Okay, I'm going to start off with Soiled Soul. The darkness molds itself around me, haunting me with your last breath, like the image of someone carefully sitting upon a small speckled rem, crushing slowly, gently, snapping like a splinter. The blood spills softly out of the feathered thing. Its legs twitch in reverse sigh of relief. I am the bird. You took me from a quiet place, a calm place. Everything we had, everything we were, to now we lie in forgotten past with nothing at all. Cold winter waves crash upon my calloused skin. The pain, breaking, seeping into the sea, the salt, how it stings. A bitter pain, but better than what you left me. No one to replace your presence or smell. Without you by my side, my tide washes over me, diminishing me to particles to the size of sea salt, hard and broken. I wished your death on many lives for yours in return. No one to beckon my call. This is all that is left of me. The ground and I conversing with soil, an act that hails no relief but one whispers from your decaying tongue. And the next one is called Menu. I imagine you as a morsel while I place you inside my needy mouth. Tasting you before I submerge you. Tasting you before I hand your delicate scallop-like flesh over to my violent tongue as it swirls you around and around like a merry-go-round in the front of my mouth. Thrashing you so wildly that your skin starts to tear and flake off, falling upon my curious gums. Like autumn debris brushing against my velvet cheeks. My molars grind you into a flattened flesh, diluting you with my saliva, so that you can slide easily down the dark pit of hell where you truly belong. And this is called Comfort in the Castle. You lie there caressing the minuscule dark particles of my brain, the reminder that you were once here, a constant murmur in my ear, your sweet voice echoing, enticing me to live better, to endeavor love and hope once again, your image severing my lust for life with a strewn icicle, like the ones that hang lightly from the roof of the veranda, hoping one will fall and slice through me as I slam the door harder and harder each time. To lie by your side, frozen in time with the larvae from the blowfly, seems all but a dream to me, one I fantasize about daily. I would have the larvae devour my flesh, consenting the soil to make love with my OCM. The thought of our carcasses inflating reminds me of that summer. The summer we rented a bouncy castle in the shape of a cat for your birthday. Together we shall bloat and collapse, allowing our love of creatures to bounce and feast upon us. Mites, carpet beetles, skipper flies, ants, reminiscing the time I gifted you an ant farm after your first transplant. Thank you.
Okay, so far so good. Okay, I'm a tiny bit taller than Hannah. Small, so we know now in comparison, smaller than John, taller than Hannah. Okay, so our next poet that we'll have joining us is Gabby Dufresne. Gabby is a poet and a writer of creative nonfiction. She's also currently in the UCCMA in creative writing. Originally from the American South, same as John, and her work focuses on the interactions between religion, sexuality, place, and acceptance. So please welcome Gabby.
Yeah, it's good. Hello, everyone. So I noticed kind of an interesting phenomenon with my poetry when I got here. Obviously, as Liz said, I'm from the American South, New Orleans originally, and then Texas. And when I got over here, I really wanted to write about like anything but like my home and growing up, like anything but that, right? I tried to write all these different things, but I found consistently the only thing I could write about was my childhood and my home. So, you know, I guess things have a way of coming out when they need to, and I think that's kind of what happened here. So most of these poems are going to be about home. So anyway, this first poem is called No Gold Medal for Suffering. I want my father to go to therapy and my mother to calm the fuck down, to hug them tight, tell my grandmother she's done her part, that she's allowed to stop the chronic overcaring whenever she's ready, that hushed and deadly illness we all inherited, just like the depression. I want to denounce the Catholic Church and get a tattoo of my darling pet worm looking up at the stars and hold my little brothers and their curly heads so close to my cheek and stop them growing. Roll a joint for everyone and roll down a hill into a body of water at the bottom that's warm and not cold, because certain things, yelling, cold water, we should not be forced to tolerate. I'm sensitive, goddammit. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. Don't say, oh, that's okay. I know it's okay. Why are you implying I wouldn't think it's okay? Stop. I know you really don't want to hurt me or slam the door. Maybe it's because you only cry after you're done with the destruction. When you start crying and the blackness leaves your eyes, I know it's safe to come out. I know you didn't mean it. Your mother probably just didn't hold you enough. Just hold yourself. Let me hold you. Instead, you're safe here. May I? I may take him and every other person who's ever hurt me and shake the poison out. No, I'm sorry. I don't actually want to be held by you. Rather, I just want you to take my hand in yours and let me press it to my own heart. So this next one's called For Amy. It's about my late grandmother. The other day I was in the kitchen cooking chicken and I got hit with a wave of missing you so hard I almost couldn't breathe. I looked up at the picture and saw your face. You hold me on the swing and we smile at something beyond the oak trees, beyond the moss and the carousels. Smoke wafts past the photograph, and I think there are a lot of things I didn't understand about you, but I did understand your voicemails and the love in your eyes. We sit the same at dinner time and have the same ankles and eyes, and I wish, more than anything, you could see me today, here, being what I wanted to be, to come back if only just to say you're proud of me. But you won't, so I just want to know for sure you belong to God now. Somewhere the leaves are always these colors, but the world is so big and I miss you being in it. This is called 5437 Canary in Distrive, the address of my childhood home. The air is pregnant with ghosts tonight. We sit on her back porch, mosquitoes alighting on our skin, and while the wine glasses still sit on the table, the jazz still pours from the speaker, the rain still falls into the backyard, I cannot help but feel I was born into this sense of loss. They recall his funeral song, the way the magnolia trees stood softly along the southern streets, after the hurricane and the more intimate traumas, the day you finally told them the truth. Four blocks over, the storm took half the roof away. The house is still painted green. The purple bike still slumps over in the driveway. I look into the window of my old room. Rainbows still lining the walls, the little spirit crisscrossed on the carpet, her brown eyes blinking back at me. I press a loving hand to the glass before I turn around because I can't set her free. Home is the place I learned who I wasn't meant to be. Okay, yeah, and to wrap it up on a happier note, this one's about love. It's called The Reason I Don't Write Many Poems About You. I can see us in a little white house by the sea, like Collins, except not as stark or empty, on a Saturday afternoon, opening the curtains, having coffee inside, watching the rain fall if it's stormy, or heading to the beach, getting cappuccinos from the little truck, crouching down in the cave, playing I Spy, when you found the heart-shaped stone on the shore, and I would do anything to protect this. I love you. I want this. And Sundays or Wednesdays in the winter months when the sun goes down early, under the covers, a Chet Baker record spinning, only getting out of bed to flip it to the B-side, and you won't have to leave, our worries far away, and there's just the rain against the window, nothing to harm us, no war, no bitterness, no, nothing of the sort in this sacred little world. There's no tragedy here, no great suffering, no crosses to bear here, we dropped them off a while ago, and it's all different this time because I wouldn't change a thing about you, no sweeping love poems, no grand production, only reality, which now with you is far more beautiful than any poem I ever could have written.
Okay, so we're at the halfway point of the UCC poets anyway. Okay, they've all done so well so far. Kemi, are you here? I can see you. Okay, she's good. So our next reader, I'll do the introduction slowly while she's walking towards us from the back. Kemi George Simpson lives in Cork and has been a stay-at-home mom since before the iPhone was invented. She has four sons, so her house and her nerves are wrecked. She's excited to read her poetry. She doesn't get out much, so this is a pretty good occasion. Poetry is a distraction for her from teenage tantrums and that ever-pressing fear of aging. Her next-door neighbor found inspiration in one of her poems and shared it on Facebook, which was a really good thing to happen at the time. Urban trees and the steep inclines contribute to her health and wealth. So here we go for Kemi.
Thank you. Inescapable danger. Wasps, like inescapable danger, swarm into our light. The window open to prevent mold spores on bathroom tiles. Outside, the cold dark has weakened their nest, so wasps warm stripes under the bulb, like fringe tassels, light shade vibrates. Dripping out of the shower, your gaze is fixed on the drama. We both stop, look, and listen, as if crossing into their deep, busy buzzing. Though you are deaf to the dying pleas, or so entangled in fear, hands and feet poised against invasion, combat mode, ready to defend mummy. Go and cover your chest, I insist, as autumn chill settles into the landing. Reluctant, you tighten towel around waist, then get dressed, too young to discern what to cherish and what to vanquish. Back from school and college, we do our chores, furry corpses with minute limbs and incandescent wings adorn windowsills, stairs, floors, and even the kitchen sink. Like mouse droppings, we dispose of them. So as a middle-aged woman who's been a stay-at-home mum for almost two decades, I've been contemplating the meaning of success. So I wrote this little silly little rhyme about success. Success is driving clean through narrow, vicious bends, smooth hill starts in front of bated breaths, opening palms to give and receive, keeping fists tight to fight off need, raising derechos, keeping your head down in dirt storms, raising derechos to force reform, meaningful creations from simple supplies, asking for help when it's hard to survive, investing in well-researched wild visions, humorous while dangling off cliff edges. So this is my last poem, and this poem is about intimate care for an elderly relative. Inevitable reversal. The first time it sat upright, a spherical gift with fluffed up edges. Your uncertain face was shaped by the preceding odour and a dread of reprisal. This was beginner's luck. I tipped it into the bowl, dug up deep inside you, disposing of every trace. The second time, it squished into tenor lady seat and the dimple in your left cheek. Your weight loss relieved the labour, but a bark load of toilet bowl and flushable wipes had to be sacrificed. You kept silent and still. I oiled atmospheric cracks with praise songs and you joined in, disgust lost to worship. Subsequent movements surprised, remnant on tenor and bulk in bowl, unruly armies colonizing dress and floor and my mind, and the burning reek of pee on inner thighs. Cleaning sessions squeezed in between laundry, washing up, cooking and tidying. The mini respite I offered seemed wanting compared to the usual load, but you would uncoil, patiently endure the digging and the wiping and my joyful, tuneless noise, waste fertilizing affection, and you overflowing with a magnitude of gratitude.
This is flying. We've only got two poets left, unfortunately. So Rob Worrell is next, and he's been writing poetry since he was 15. Apparently, he's been writing for about 10 years. He is...
Thank you.
Yeah, not a bother. The check has cleared, so... Rob is a great performer. He's performed at DeBarra's spoken word events and at Poetry Town events, which led to him being awarded a well-earned bursary from Poetry Ireland, which is nice if you can get it, fair play. This project that he had for Poetry Town was subsequently, it's evolved into a performance piece with poetry and a narrative. So we're talking about a melding of theatre and spoken word. So I'll let Rob do his thing.
Thank you. So I'm going to read about four, but this one's from a few years ago, but it's kind of about what Liz was just talking about. So it's the beginning one of that. Okay, it's called All of Me. It's not what I wanted that drove me forward, but what I wanted to feel. It's not what I knew, but what I wanted to know. It's not what I felt, but what I wanted to feel. It's not what I was, but what I wanted to be. It's changed nothing and all of me. So this next one is much more recent. And it's kind of about, I've got a bit of a complicated background, but anyway, it's kind of about my late mom and about me growing up as well. So, yeah, it's called Go Home. Born with cleft palate, suffering more than most, her early life played host to rejection and learning to survive alone within four walls, no loving home. As she carried me day and night, beyond adoption, could see a future more bright. Giving two daughters, a mixed race brother, with white husband, absented black lover. She walked tall, proud and fast, ignoring disparaging looks of many we passed. Taught all of those near and far, it's not who, but how you are. I tried so hard to be strong, to lean into pain and belong. Be no different, be not other, for the sacrifices of my mother. For kith and kin, no question, no fuss, you're just one of us. But their projected, my protected identity was only part of me. Then came the marches, skinheads attack, ain't no black in the Union Jack. Don't be taken aback, this shift to the right makes our streets safe for who at night? So naive, no color blind, claiming multiculturalism leaves whites behind. Coming over here, they have it made, never working, always paid, no fitting in between the ghettos, more brummy boy than Soweto, right accent, wrong skin tone, avoiding me, leaving well alone. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, there is no belonging in Nigger Go Home. So this one's about grief and loss. Don't worry, I'm ending with a happy one. Okay, it's called Birdsong. Hearing the wonder of it in springtime, slipping out of slumber for my morning slog, a score of turns round the same bare field, sometime bog, the start marked by planting two feathers for father and mother gone before. As seasons turned, you thrived on a strange concoction twice a day. With supplements, you seemed more alive and energized than those healthier folk living for years half dead. Yet fate plays tricks on our minds, as COVID put paid to seeking treatment in sunnier climes, not once, but twice. A month reduced to a solitary snatched week before the second bird song, spent all together, became our last. And one morning, up with the lark, hurtling down the slipway, a running start marked by the two feathers standing tall and proud, despite disruptive wind and driving rain. Then circling again, coming across a third, you flourished. Sorry, coming across a third. Without thinking, pushing it into the cold, hard earth. Yet on your return, you flourished, burning bright with faith and hope, blood markers down. Yet as the incessant warbling and calling came round again, your spirit weakened with that cough we could not shift, with intensifying pain in legs, arms and hips. On hearing this was the last hurrah, you did not have the strength to fall apart, mortally distraught, shattered heart, calmly and courageously telling our boys across a hospital bed that our family as was nearing its end. Now it's not the winter that I dread, but knowing before the summer long, I'll have to get up, run wild out, taking the circle, watching in dread for feathers in the bright, shrill, bitterly sad chorus of the bird song. Okay. Your eyes are like the pool at Simon's Cove, piercing the light with your blue. Deep, dark, and bright, I dipped my toe to test the cold, an unexpected warmth, numbing my flight, pulling me in toward you. I had to, wanted to, yearned to dive right in, feet first, head strong, slip under placid waves, breathe in deeply, the waters flux and flow, drawing me down deeper, pulling at my core to dare to want more and more. So clear, tranquil and calm, wanting to build a sandy fort, protect the hidden natural pool, to be wiser than a fool, seeking refuge beyond laughter's loss, breaking the surface for breath once more, gasping for air, taking it all in, to be able to go under once more, drowning all that is you, protected for a moment, a short while, from the world as is, and thinking of you, seeing you makes for a warm smile and laugh so out loud, wanting to stay in, be there without a care, dare to claim the time, surrendering to the sublime, heart open, layered, soul caressing, empty mind, transparent in your beauty, surrendering serenely to our truth. Nothing matters beyond the moment where only we exist, where sun shines serenely, moon holds the night. Moon holds the night, sky above the garden, reflected gloriously in beautiful still waters, masquerading, mesmerizing, drawing me in deep, dark and bright, piercing the light with your blue, caressing and consuming all of you. Thank you.
Okay, so we have come to our final poet. And I just want to say thank you to Paul and everyone at Ovale for inviting the MA. You get a different bunch every year, so I think you get a pretty good survey of what's going on above in the college, for better or worse. So, for better. So Alice Barry is our next and final reader. Here we go. So Alice is a writer from Cork. She has returned to Cork, having worked nationally and internationally as a dramaturge, actor, producer, writer, director. She graduated from the Samuel Beckett Centre in Trinity College. I'm too polite to say the year because I don't want to be giving away your age. And she's worked extensively in theatre, radio and television. She is one of the best storytellers I've come across in narrative poetry anyway. So let's see if she can what she can do to finish this up. Thanks very much, lads.
Thanks, Liz. Thank you, Liz. That was lovely. Hi. Okay, so the first one is called Willie Clancy 96. And for people who don't know, the Willie Clancy Festival is an Irish traditional music festival in Clare every year. The Balshy Bollocks attracts the crowd like a herd of heifers around a trough. Thirsty for talent, they bray and holler at his jigs and reels. Around the floor and mind the dresser, hop ya by ya! Flat down and ballet up, battering to bait the band. Whooping like the lower deck on a rough-cut Titanic table, threatening with the weight, oblivious to impending danger. The handsome fucker flicks his hair, darts a glance to enchant. As his elbow saws through the lovelorn ladies of Lahinch. Bow dancing on the strings, fingers fiddling fast and furious, promising participation to all who dare to stare his way. Beads flick from his forehead and fly through the air like a summer promise. They land with the bravery of 7 pints of the black stuff, consumed down a cleavage held up by the wonder of youth, formed by the freedom of summer spaghetti string straps. Bronzed and brazen boulders baiting braver men than that flirty, flirty fiddler from 4. But he does have the feckin' X factor. Their eyes like the patrons, locked. A smirk, a smile, a wide wink. A head thrown back as her laugh sings out like a chanos of fine chances and possible dances. The dirty devil drives the session on, head down, eyes closed tight now, futile as a knife on a baron. Fat frog knocked back, she's out the gap, onto the beach where the bonfire burns, bodies, bottles, cans, and hormones melding. She looks to the sea, then joins the melee. This one called Me Too. Manhattan 95 on a J1. No cider, so cocktails are the order. Harvey Wallbanger, Mojito, Black Russian, you're not in Tyro now, Dorothy. Too drunk to walk to the party, an exotic voice calls to them from the car, from the road. A handsome stranger in a flash car. Woo! It's Harvey the White Russian! Tittering now, they approach. Let me give you girls a ride, he smiles. Sex on the beach, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. A slow, comfortable screw against the wall. Splitting her sides, laughing. It seems like a good idea to hike up her skirt and dive through the passenger window. Until she realizes the doors are locked and he's driving away. Leaving her friend, waving frantically, laughing hysterically, roaring after them, me too! So this one was originally called I Think I'm in Love with Kevin Barry, but I changed it to After Kevin Barry, literarily. That old country music was what the medical microbiologist became morbidly fascinated by. Silently she pleaded in the Ahada Hills, then made this gesture. Oh, thanks be to fuck, he'll say, with the burden lately of wandering thoughts at night. She tacitly promises to take the night boat to Tangier with him, based on the knowledge that he will almost certainly know the kind of moundy bit down the far end. Information. But what she really longs for is a companion to travel to the far recesses and see what they might find back there. Beetle bone or marvel marrow. Don't be scared. He watches over the water, asking answers of the partially dissociated. They don't have them. In her matter of no small consequence, microscopically speaking, what she means to say, if he is interested, will be, you must not ever think of that dark and glamorous place unless you are brave enough to enter. Okay, just the last one, and it's called Lament Not I. Now my skin is worn, they no longer stare, feel no need to tease or flirt, acknowledge I am there. A passing glance is fleeting, tells me all I need to know. There is fierce anonymity in the years of growing old. But I no longer care, feel no need to primp or groom my hair. Yet, make no mistake, let me be clear. I am here. I am very much fucking here. And here I'll stay until I'm done. The battle over, when I have won, then is the time they will all weep, tear. She once was here. I knew her once. They'll cry, they'll bawl. I did, me too. So did I. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
good. Thanks very much. Not a bother.
Thank you very much, Liz Quirk and the class. I'm going to read their names again, because the trade-off for having so many great readers is that their readings feel much too brief, actually. So I'm sure we'll come across them again, but their names again were Fiona Tracy, Hannah Myers, Gabby Dufresne, John McLeod, Kemi George Simpson, Rob Worrell, and Alice Berry. And Liz Quirk, the teacher. Thank you very much.